though it tarry, wait for it, it's gonna come to pass. Amen? God keeps his promises. And it's the trying of your faith and my faith that's so much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. And it's going to be tried with fire. Be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. Amen?
Amen.
So, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, if need be. I never think I need be. But God knows, Father knows best. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that is working in each one of us. That each of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Just as Mary had Jesus conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit has conceived Jesus in us. And he is being formed in us by the Spirit of God. And that's why Paul said, I travail again in prayer till Jesus be formed in you. So do it, Lord. Continue to work in us and your will and purposes being done in our lives. Glorify your name through your vessels. We present ourselves to you. We present ourselves to you according to your mercy and your grace. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. This is a familiar passage. And we're going to start at verse 1. God put the dessert first. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. It's not a mistake he said voice, okay? He could have said what is written, the commandments that I've given you. But hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments. Now he says the commandments, but first of all the voice, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. There it is again. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of thy kine, flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord will establish thee a holy people. Establish. Remember Peter, we just read that in Peter. Perfect, establish, and settle you. Okay? The Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Well, we want the spirits to be afraid of us, the evil spirits, but we're going to stop there. We go to the other side of the coin and go to 15. But if it shall come to pass, thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. There again, the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest out. The Lord, nothing's never going to work. Nothing's ever going to work, okay? The Lord shall send upon thee the cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave upon thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with the consumption, with the fever, with the inflammation, and with extreme burning, and with the sword, and with the blasting, and with the mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And the heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth is under you shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and the dust. Powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And this happened to Israel because they didn't listen to the voice of God. They tried to keep the commandments at times, but they couldn't keep the commandments. I'm reminded, too, as I read this, God even said to Moses, "Oh, that they had a heart to fear me for the good of them. Oh, that they had a heart to fear me." Well, he answered that in Jeremiah. "I'm going to give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children." So God has made a way, okay? Now, before we leave 28, we want to go to 45. 28:45, Deuteronomy. "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Because they're not listening to the voice of the Lord. First of all, they didn't want to hear it. They wanted Moses to go and listen, and then come back and tell them. But they're getting it secondhand. "To keep his commandments, his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign, and for a wonder upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Rejoice in the Lord
always."
Always. "And again I say, rejoice. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He comes to steal our joy. Jesus said, 'I come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. I come that your joy might be full.'" Now, Satan is a deceiver. He's a deceiver. And God is very plain in what he says. And what he means, he says, and what he says, he means. And so it's amazing, you know, how Satan says, you know, what he said to Eve, "Thou shalt not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." You won't surely die. That's what God said, right? But he's a very good at lying, okay? I have known people who could lie. I believe they believed what they were saying, even though they knew they were lying. I mean, it's like they could pass a lie detector test. They're just so good at lying. And Satan's good at it. He's convincing. And it just continues to bring these lies to us. And he disguises them sometimes. And he puts them. Sometimes he'll put them in scripture. Sometimes he'll just, you know, add a little bit here, a little bit there. But he wants to get us off of that straight and narrow way. The Spirit of God will always lead us and guide us into all truth. He'll never lead us astray. He'll never lead us off the path. He's actually getting us closer and closer to stay on the path, so that we might receive all that God has for us, and that we might fulfill all that God has called and chosen us to be now, here, on the earth, now. Now faith is. And our faith is based on not what somebody else said anymore. It's based on what he is saying to you. Because your faith comes by hearing, and your hearing comes by the Word of God. Notice a couple times we brought it out, the fact that they didn't obey the voice. If you obey the voice of the Lord our God. Now, he gave them the commandments, and they're part of that's the commandments. But he emphasized the voice. If we look at the history of Israel, you know, somewhere in the prophets, after God was sending the prophets and warning them about how they were getting away from God and they were going away from him, and he was going to send judgment. He was going to bring judgment on them if they didn't repent, and they weren't repenting. He sends I don't know if it was Jeremiah. He could have been Jeremiah. But anyway, they came and they said, look, God says, if you will honor the Sabbath day and not bring any burden in on the Sabbath day, but if you will, you know, shut the gate so there's no commerce going in and out of the gates, then I will keep my covenant with you, and you will have kings to sit on the throne. Your princes will sit in the gates. I won't give you over to the enemy. And they couldn't keep it. They couldn't even do that. God really brought it down so simple, but they couldn't do it because their hearts wasn't right. Jesus comes along, and he heals people. He delivers people. He has a great message that just resonates with the sinners and draws people to him. Never a man spoke like this man. And he heals people on the Sabbath day, and they get all upset. Why are they upset? Well, they say because he's working on the Sabbath day. So, in essence, the way I look at it, they finally got it. We're going to keep this commandment. We're going to honor the Sabbath, so no work gets done on the Sabbath. And here's Jesus, the Word of God manifested in the flesh, and they don't recognize him. They don't see him. You do these things through the power of Beelzebub. They didn't recognize him. They couldn't. So they kept the law, but if they had done it back here, that would have been okay. It's like when they went in the they wanted to go in the Promised Land, and they got the evil report, and so they didn't go in. And the next morning they woke up, we're here, we're going to go in. And Moses, don't go. No, God told us to go in, we're going in. Don't go. God's not going to go with you, and I'm not going with you, and the ark's not going with you. Yeah, but we're going to go. We're going to go up and do it. And they were beat. What it does then, it brings a reputation. Hey, they are vulnerable. They can be beaten. And it isn't God that they beat. They beat disobedient children. Amen? Okay, let's go to the New Covenant. Go to Hebrews. Because one of the reasons that it says in Hebrews that the covenant, the original covenant, was the law was given to us as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was to keep them in line till the promise came, till the real came, till the not the shadow of the thing, but the real came. And the real was Jesus Christ. And so we got this covenant in chapter 8, verse 5. Who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that you make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained, Jesus Christ has obtained, a more excellent ministry, by how much more he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant. This is the new contract that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother. You need to know the Lord. Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will remember no more. In that he saith the new covenant, he made the first old. Now that which is decayed and waxes old already vanished away. We're not to be under the old covenant. We don't have to keep the dietary laws. We don't have to observe the feasts and the tabernacles and all that stuff that they did in that time. But we got this new covenant, which is established upon better promises. And again, the covenant is established upon promises. It's not established upon works. But through the promises, through the new covenant, we will be what God wants us to be. We will do what God wants us to do because God is going to do it in us and through us. But again, our part in the new covenant is to believe. Just like Abraham, God spoke to Abraham and he believed what God said, and righteousness was imputed to him. Amen? It was given to him. Salvation is a gift, right? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. By grace are you saved. Through unmerited favor are you saved. By faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we know that. We know that up here, in our dingling, in our head. But what God wants is to have it in a heart. You cannot serve two masters. There's nothing that God cannot and has not overcome. Amen? You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save, deliver his people from their sin. Amen? But what we want to see is we are God's workmanship. And so our part, just like with Abraham, God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And in blessing, I'm going to bless you. In multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. Again, Abraham, he didn't want Abraham to go out and get 1,000 wives like Solomon. All he wanted him to do was to believe him. Amen? All Mary had to do was believe the angel. And she was blessed. Blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Again, we have an enemy. He's Satan. And what he does is he twists the word, and he's really good at it. Amen? He knows if we want to be obedient, if we want to do what's right, then he's got a temptation. Well, Jesus came to save, seek and save. It was what Jesus came, to God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Satan says, well, look, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all this stuff. And then they'll worship you. Yeah, but it seems like an easy way. You don't have to go through the cross. I'll give you all the nations. I'll give them to you. They're mine. They'll listen to me. And some people have made a league with the devil, and they became famous. They sold their soul to be famous in this world. And I can't judge where they are, but by their actions, it looks like they're not where they want to be. But Jesus, chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. He is able also to save them. He is able also to deliver them. He is able also to make them whole. He is able to bring them out and do it to the uttermost forevermore that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. The reason he's living, his purpose, he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen? Mm-hmm. If God be for us, who can be what? Against us. And only thing I have to do for God to be before me is to follow him. Amen? All I got to do to have God not in front of me is not to follow him. It's simple, isn't it? If I'm behind him, I'm following him. If I'm not behind him, I'm not following him. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Nobody. Your flesh can. The world can. It'll come against you. It'll come against us. But they can't overcome us. Amen? We can escape the corruption that is in this world through lust, not through our works, but through our believing in God's promises. Amen? I'm able to keep you from falling. I'm able to present you faultless. And where does a desire come to be what God wants me to be? Where does a desire come that I want to fulfill his will and his purpose? But I see in me, how can I do this? Paul says, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Who's going to save me from this body of death? I thank God, Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? So it's not just for him, it's for you. It's for you, it's for you, it's for you, it's for me. Amen? And so he keeps telling us, you can be confident in this very thing. He has begun a good work in you, he's going to finish it. Go to Galatians. It just keeps coming to me. There is a way that seemeth right unto, that seemeth right. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And yeah, people can get pretty whacked out with things, even people who seem to be spiritual, in the sense that, how can they see that? It says it plainly here that that's wrong. You know, how can they see that? But then you get to some things that are really, they're so close to the real. You know, we always go back to that. I hate to do this again, but that's the only thing I can think of right now. But in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that says, Lord, 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 shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven, right? Many shall say, not in your name. We prophesy in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We've done many for works in your name. And he'll say, depart from me, workers, like, I don't know you. So they didn't have a relationship with God. With Jesus Christ, they're not walking with him because he said, I don't know you. The greatest thing that we have, the greatest thing that we got, is our ability to walk with God. We don't always take it, but that's the greatest thing we got. I said this before, and I was in this spot, and it was something like David, you know, Psalms 50. 51, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And I was in a situation like that. And it was like, oh my goodness, don't anything else. Beat me on the head, do this, but don't take your Spirit from me. Don't take your presence. Amen? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And some father of the faith said, love God and then do what you want. Because if you love God, you'll do what he wants. Mm-hmm. Why?
Because
you love him. Not because you're trying to prove you love him, because you love him. Amen? Mm-hmm. How many people love D? I mean, do we to love? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or especially this time, okay? It's getting close. We eat because we're not just sustaining our bodies. I'm sustaining something, but it's more than I need. Thank you, Lord. He has blessed us abundantly. Amen.
Amen.
So God's given us these things, and so but we eat because we like to eat, but we're not to love to eat in a sense, you know what I mean? That's a glutton, love. But see, all these things come from God. The love of God. He says, glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is being shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Mm-hmm. It's not something you conjure up yourself. The children of Israel, I was just thinking of this just this morning, the children of Israel saw they experienced the miracles. They saw God do a miraculous thing, delivering them from Pharaoh. They seen the things or the effects of those miracles upon the Egyptians. They could say negative miracles. He destroyed Egypt and then destroyed the whole army. They still couldn't serve God. They see God on the mountain. They don't see God, but they see the fire on the mountain's on fire, and there's no trees. I mean, it's just, it's on fire, and this cloud, and the lightning, and the thunder, and voice of God, and they're trembling. And Moses, I do exceedingly fear and quake. And they come up with, Moses, we got this, we want to come, we think you ought to go up and talk to God. Then you come back and tell us what he's saying. You know, it's back there when when Moses reiterating the things that happened, he said to them, you know, God humbled you in the wilderness and made you eat manna that you were not used to, that you might learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So from the very beginning, that's the standard. And Jesus comes all the way to the other side when he's tempted of the devil, and the devil says, well, you're hungry, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. It's man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm hungry, yeah, physically I'm hungry, but I need to hear God more than I need these stones to be turned to bread. Amen? So what God, what is the Spirit of God doing in us? He's causing us to be more and more hungry. Not to gain just knowledge. Because see, if we had time, we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the first administration, the Ten Commandments was given, but it says the letter of the law kills. But the Spirit giveth life. The law, the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has made you and I free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through our flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if you're led of the Spirit of God, if you're walking in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you're not under the law. Amen. And therefore, you're not under the curses of the law. Amen? Amen. Oh, yeah, but I got in the flesh the other day and I lied, or, you know, I did this or I did that. Well, what does he say? God made a way. If you confess it, he'll forgive you and then cleanse you from it so you're not under the curse. Amen? Because anybody that doesn't receive Christ as their Savior, they're still under the law. Amen? So some of these principles, they're still in effect for some people. Now, what's in effect for us is that we hear the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Amen? Another they will not follow because they don't know that voice. And we're coming to know it better and better and better. Amen? So we get to tune out. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not accepting that. I'm not thinking about that person that way. No, And get this, you read the news, and something that starts to come up. Nope. You rule in heaven above and in earth beneath. You're the Lord of lords. Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And we continue to declare it into the air that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, Jesus Christ is Lord. They'll do it. Amen? But we want to do it now, don't we? We want to do it now. The thing that stops us is our flesh, our own flesh. But God has a way out of it. But familiar verses to us, but Lord, I'm just trusting the Spirit to make this, apply it to us individually. The veil would be taken away. We'd be able to see this clearly. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ is evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Remember we read that in Acts this morning, Acts 2. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus and for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen? Hallelujah. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a peculiar people. that you might show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, not with your power, not in your ability, but by the ability that God gives you, his Holy Spirit. Amen? So the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are the gifts of the Spirit. And he gives severally as he wills. And you have a part in the body of Christ. And when we come together, the more we get in tune with the Spirit of God, each individual, each string on the guitar, each string on the bass, each horn has to be tuned. My trumpet, I had to tune the trumpet in every time that we would play. Because if I didn't, I could hit the right note, but it would be off. I'm hitting the right note, but it's off. Why? Because the instrument isn't tuned. But as we heard in the prophecy, God's fine-tuning us. We can be confident of this very thing. He's begun a good work in you. He's going to continue to do it. Amen? And so when we get off tune, I mean, I didn't have to do anything. I just let my instrument sit there, and I come back a week later. When I'm supposed to be practicing every day. Tim, you don't wait a week to practice, do you? No, that's a good boy. Okay. I had to go to classes in this guy. Well, that was for the French horn. They wanted me to take the French horn for concert. So anyway, I had to go to this guy, and I need to believe. Amen? Be persevere in the faith. You know, resisting, steadfast in the faith. In the faith, believing that he that started a good work, he's going to finish it. Even when I mess up, I just messed up. I got to get up and dust myself off and go towards the cross. Go towards Jesus, believing what he has said he would do for me and he would said he would do for you. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. And as we come in here believing God, and as a brother was praying this morning through the Spirit, through expectation, expecting God, that's our hope, that he's going to show up.
Yes.
Amen? I just thought, this popped in my mind, and I have nothing to do. But anyway, as I was walking, you know that in this very room, a guy who was Mr. Universe came and talked to us. Remember that, honey? I forgot all about that.
I'm here.
Many are deceived today. But anyway, you know, But Jesus wants to show up here. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. In this little dinky place compared to other places, we're nothing. Amen? Mm. But that doesn't hinder God. He looks for the impossible. He looks for the things that are not to confound the things that are. Okay, are you so foolish? 3, begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? The answer is no, no, no. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if ye be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, who gives you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted him for righteousness. The Spirit's going to move as we believe in what God is saying to us. I want to emphasize this. Because see, and I got to make this shorter, but the Galatians got in trouble not because they wanted to leave God. They got in trouble because they wanted to be everything God wanted them to be. They had a hunger. They wanted to do what was right. They had become Christians. They're Gentiles, and they become Christians, knowing about Jesus Christ. And yet, Satan sent these teachers. Who Judaizers who were using the Old, and that's all they had was the Old Testament, but God could get the truth across from the Old Testament, but these people, they were still stuck in Judaism, and so they began to teach them, well, you know, it says you have to be circumcised. Well, in the Old Covenant, they had to be circumcised. Amen? In the Old Covenant, you had to keep the Sabbath day. But in a new covenant, I'm not, and all kinds of festivals and, you know, feasts and all this stuff, Passovers and stuff. But Paul says, let no man judge you in these things, because we're not under the old covenant. We're under the new covenant. And there is a Sabbath. but it's not one day. It's a place where I come into rest. Jesus, as Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. I will give you rest. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls. It's not by my efforts. It's not by my persevering by myself. No, 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 no. But it's me persevering through Jesus Christ. Amen? Mm-hmm. Believing in his promises. I can, you can, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Mm-hmm. So no matter what the enemy throws against us, God will not allow me to be tempted above which I'm able to stand. Not me and myself, not you and yourself, but you and God. Amen? Mm-hmm. Some people have gone through some really heavy stuff. They went through it and they came out victorious. But it wasn't them that got them through it. It was God that got them through it. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now again, now, I'm not trying to diminish anything, but what we look at the end of somebody being delivered and say, wow, they came out, wow, they were delivered. If they were a physical captive, man, they were delivered from that enemy's camp, a physical sickness. They were delivered, praise God. But see, the Bible says they're believing is much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. And so after they suffered a while, they were perfected, established. They were delivered. And like I said, what God told me one time is what pleases you is when you're healed. What pleases me is when you believe me before it. Faith pleases God. Faith is always the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So as I read his word and as I see, as he reveals these things to us, it's like, somebody told me one time, it's like the carrot in front of the donkey. He puts it out there. I want that. I want that. I want that. Well, then you're going to have to follow it. You're going to have to go after it. Amen? Amen? Don't go after the other things. Don't try to do it yourself. But follow him and trust in him. And you can be confident he's going to get you into the promised land. Amen? And yeah, the enemy's going to look big. The things that are going to be that you're going to have to overcome are way bigger than you are. But he's with you. Amen? And if he's with you, you're going to overcome. You're going to fulfill the call, the purpose that he has for you. But it's going to seem like it's the long way. It's going to seem like it's... Isn't there a shorter way to do this? No, because he's doing it from the inside out. He's getting us straightened out. Amen? These people thought, well, if we're circumcised, you know, we're just getting better. We're just better. We're just doing what God wants us to do. But God's circumcision was already done in their lives. They had already believed in Jesus Christ. They already accepted him as their Savior. They also repented. They also were baptized. They were circumcised in their heart, not by hands, but by Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Circumcision is of the heart. You can't do that. You can do it by being obedient, but he's the one that does it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ lives in me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live through the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. We're to live by faith and not by sight. Amen? Mm. So he's always going to be out there. Okay? When we get somewhere, we can rejoice. But tomorrow morning, you're going to start reading, and it's going to be like, oh, man, I'm not there yet. It's like the kids. I said, are we there, Dad? Are we there? I said, yeah, we're here. Mm. And they rolled their eyes, too. No, are we there yet? Are we at the beach? No, we're here. All right, one more thing. 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through him. And this is it, man. When we walk in the Spirit, we have the Spirit. We have everything we need to fulfill the call and the purpose God wants us to do. Because the Spirit does so many things, and I believe there's a message coming about all those things. We're not prepared today to do it. There's so much that the Spirit does. There's so much that the Spirit does in us. And that's why we need to pray one for another, that we're strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inner man. Christ may actually dwell in your heart by faith. You being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints. There's a breadth, length, a depth, height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled unto all the fullness of God. And now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think. He's way ahead of us. He's always ahead of us. He's always doing more than we think. 24, and I think we'll fit. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. So there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. For you are all in Christ Jesus. If you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It just reminded me there's another verse that I want to read before we quit. Chapter 5, verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that is a debtor to do is do the whole law. Now, what is this referring to with what God has been telling us is when He keeps saying to us, you shall cease from your own works as God did from His. You're to cease from your own works as God did from His. These people were doing this not to become separated from God. They did it to become closer to God because they believed that's what God wanted them to do because these teachers had taught them that way. But what the Spirit of God is changing us into the image of His Son, of God's Son. Bring us into a closer relationship with God Himself, where His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And we don't live by bread alone, but we do live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The letter of the law can tell you something. And the thing that fouls you up is it's in here. But the Spirit, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and their life. My sheep hear my voice. Paul was persecuted by religious people because he preached against circumcision because it was written in here for that time. Amen? Amen. He goes on and talks about Abraham's sons, Ishmael and Isaac, how Ishmael persecutes Isaac. Ishmael is born of Abraham, but he's not the seed of promise. It's the fake. It's the Antichrist. But it's Abraham's seed. Isaac is the seed of promise. And so we're children of Abraham through Isaac because we believe God. We're not the children of Abraham who are not under the promise, but under the works, under the man's, like Cain, you know, under man's way of pleasing God. He's not interested in that. He already made a way over here. Amen? Faith in what? Not faith in works, but faith in what He said. So you, each one of you, have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So that you hear His voice. And so that what you do is not what I'm telling you to do as a man, but what God is saying for you to do. And the faith to do that comes from hearing his voice. Amen? Yeah, I might say it from here, or somebody might testify it in the body. But like Jeff was saying this morning, it's God that's teaching you. God that's teaching you. You have to understand that. The letter of the law is good in the sense that it's compared, you know, in the flesh. It's good stuff. But it won't get you to heaven. It won't get you in right standing with God. You know, it says, yeah, in 1 Corinthians 12, that if the Spirit, nobody that's of the Spirit will say Jesus is accursed. But it also says nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. In my flesh, I can say Jesus is Lord. Lord, Lord. Not everybody that says Lord, Lord shall in the kingdom of heaven. But I can't do it. I can't submit to it. Why? Because I'm denying the power thereof. I'm denying the authority, the power. The Spirit of God is the power. Amen? You shall receive power. That's the same. They're denying that same power. It's the same word for power. But over here, the Spirit of God is the power thereof. The power is in you. The power is in me to be what God wants me to be, what God wants me to do. The Spirit is changing you into His image from glory to glory. You're being changed into what God wants you to be by His Spirit. As long as I'm believing in that. In that one song, you know, counting on God. I'm counting on God. Because if He doesn't help me, I can't do it. You can't do it. What God wants us to do is impossible for us to do. Just as impossible as the miracles in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. But we are well able to go up and take the country. We're well able to get to the place where we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We get to the place where we're hearing the voice of God and knowing what to do and what not to do. Jesus said it, and that's what I'm pressing for. My sheep hear my voice. We're not living by commandments. Now, there's some things that are set. I mean, Paul gave a list of things in the New Testament. This is, you know, if you're doing these things, you're going to go to hell. There's no other way around it. But He isn't telling them that so they can get it straightened out in the flesh, because nobody could keep the law in the Old Testament. How could they keep the law in the New Testament? But it's a thermometer. It's a gauge to say, well, wait a minute. Examine yourself whether you're being in the faith. Well, if I'm doing this, if I'm shacked up with somebody, oh, that's not right. I got to get that right. Well, I just can't separate. I just can't do that. Well, in the flesh you can't. God can, amen? So on the other side of it, there's hope for anybody in any situation, because God's able to give them the ability to do it, to do the right thing, amen? Amen? Of course, we as good as we are, we never need that. I need you more than yesterday. I need you, Lord. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than my next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, wanna be by your side, 'cause I never wanna go back to my old life. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Lord, we need you.
Yes.
And more you're changing our perspective. You're changing our thoughts, the things that are not right in us, that we're starting to recognize that we are only complete in you, but we are complete. When we are in you, we are complete. So we need you. We don't just need to get rid of this one problem we have, this one sin that does so easily beset us. No, what we need is you. We don't need to try to bring forth more love out of us. We need you. We need you. And that God is our Father. God is our provider, our protector. And so we go to the Father and ask for things that we need because He is our Father. And if we ask for bread, you won't give us a serpent or a stone. And if we ask for a fish, you won't give us a serpent. And you'll give the Spirit to them that ask. Keep working on us, God. We appreciate what you've done. We want to be appreciating you more. But we realize that even this comes from you. And we want to serve you, not grin, bear it, but rejoicing in you. Rejoicing in all the things you promised. Rejoicing in your exceeding great and precious promises. Even when we see in ourselves that we're not there. I'm not what I should be. I'm not. But I can rejoice in the hope. I can rejoice in the promise that you're going to finish it. You're going to finish it. You're going to complete it. So God, we thank you. And even the faith comes from you. Everything I need comes from you. I just got to pay attention. What are you saying? Today, and being obedient. And if I have trouble being obedient, I can ask you to change my heart, and you'll do it, because you love me. So God, I just pray again, you go with the people today and this week, and by your Spirit, continue to teach them in their personal lives how this all applies, and how they're to apply it to the things that they're touching, and other people that they're touching, so that your will and purposes would be done in their life. And your name will be glorified wherever they go. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name, by your Spirit. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.